Anybody bring any snacks? Right there? No candy, I don't teach, right? Okay.
Somebody online has M&M's.
Eat them for us. We were stuck on this. Let's read it one more time together. 1, 2, 3. Zongbe Changshu Semta Thambo La Ne Kyang Tu Mong Sun Ke Tang Che Rang San Ge Nam Ni Sir Nam Tha Ki Wang Ki Pam Che Nam Ba Pe. You gotta turn the mic. Who's doing the mic? Can you hear it? Yeah, it just keeps them awake. Hello. Yeah. Love. I own each other, not helping things. Okay. This was clear. Senam Daki Wangi Pamche Namapel. It's getting better. Okay. That's the first Chinese I ever learned. Okay. Big white rabbit candy. These are vitamins. Okay. Tu Bong Sun Ke was, those who are born from the speech of the Buddhist, right? Which means listeners. Rang San Ge meant self-made Buddhas. Sunam Daki Wangi Pamche. Somebody beats them out by virtue of their virtue. And Namba Pel, and continues to increase, right? Then we were stuck here because the idea was that even a baby person, even a baby ayah, even an ayah in their first few minutes, is better than an arhat at a lower path. Okay, so, but then we had this weird expression, senta dambo, at the first view of the mind, which is we assume it means first bodhisattva level, but we wanted to find some. what are they gonna have? But we had to find some confirmation. We didn't feel comfortable, assuming what it meant. So we searched through the Sumbum, the Umma section, and we didn't find much that helped. So what other options do we have? Go earlier. Let's try the Tengir. Because we know Master Chandrakirti wrote an auto commentary. Okay? Am I dead, something? Okay. So you got a gopher, say Sem. Semta. Let's try Dumbo and see if we hit anything. And we're going to look in the tenure this time. Okay. What's this? Huh? Can you recognize it? Yeah. No, it's on catalog, but we have it. Here it is. Dini Pabagivajuru. Zope Chanju Senta Tambola Nekyam. How does it compare to our verse, to our text? How does this compare to that? It's the same, we're in the middle of a root text. Doesn't help, okay? Here we have a 10-year commentary on that verse. Okay? Ancient commentary on that verse. First he quotes the verse, Chanju Sembe. Chanju Sembe Di Dzogbe Chanju. Semda Dhamma La Ne Gyan.
This is
this view. Sorry? It's probably the auto commentary. She Jawa Kanyin Be Dini Ke Par Shen Yin Te. Jike Ru Papa Jan Be Nam Thale. Rikki Buddhita Te. Ben Na Gyabu Pu Ke. Once a son of a king has been born, then after not very long, because they possess the name of the king, then they outshine all of the other people in the court. In the same way, a bodhisattva, Le Damboa, okay, who's a just a beginner of fledgling's good, Chanja de Senkene Rima Manumba. But then it says, not long after they achieve bodhicitta, it doesn't talk about sin emptiness. They have joined the family of the Buddhas, and by virtue of their compassion, they outshine listeners and self-made Buddhists. And then he gives the example of the Garuda baby. He's quoting a sutra. They should be chanting something. Yeah. That's better. Okay, but this is your name. Oh. Shishi chocolate. Okay. I think making your name. Yeah, you see, he doesn't explain it. He still doesn't explain it. Okay? He doesn't explain it. All right? All that he gives us is Le Damboa, beginning bodhisattva.
Okay. So we're defining that as generating the wish for enlightenment or sin emptiness as well?
We don't know yet. This is sort of interesting, and he says, he quotes the verse, whoever this is. This is, by the way, Chris Manali. This is right. We don't know what text it is because it's not cut off. We're fighting with our entry center in Ulan Uda, and they say that they don't need to cut them off. And see, we're inside of a volume that might have 100 books in it, and we don't know which book we're in because they refuse to cut them off. Okay. We should probably just cut their pay. Anyway, Dzogbe Chanju Sem Nyite. This is interesting. Dear Chanju Ki Sem Nyite, there are two kinds of bodhicitta. Dale Chungwa Dan Dundambo O. So the second one is Dundambo. What's that? Ultimate bodhicitta, which is? Direct perception emptiness. He calls the first one Dale Chungwa. What's a da? Bao Radha Da Da. Difficult word. Da means a sign or a term. Okay. Sometimes when you make a sign, in the tantra we had a da. You're supposed to make a certain sign before you touch your partner, da, with a certain gesture. Okay. So, but here da means like a term. So why would the other kind of bodhicitta be called da le chuma? That which comes from da. What kind of sign?
The image of being.
Yeah, it comes from a mental image. It's a sign that it's not in the direct perception of emptiness. It's just seeing images that it's projecting. Okay.
Elaboration.
Yeah, you could say that. Okay. So it's interesting that in ancient times it wasn't called kunzopsenge, deceptive. It was called the one that uses words or images. Okay. The first one people can have who are social kills. What's that? Ordinary people who haven't seen emptiness directly. The first is attained when you first see emptiness. By virtue of both, you silky number those lower arhats. Yeah. I kind of like this position, right? I like this position. He says by virtue of both your compassion and your perception of emptiness, you outshine other arhats. Okay, arhats. At what point do you give up and just make a translation? How long do you go on? Yeah?
I found what you're looking at, but in catalogs, under Uma, I guess it's Uma Nukla Gopa.
Okay.
This same thing.
So oh, this particular thing.
This exact
thing. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay. We may be in that, I don't know. Until somebody cuts it up. Let's keep going. This is the root text, so I'm just going to skip it. And this is the commentary. Yeah, the other commentary. And this we already read, and that's all. Nobody in ancient times either.
My master Chakrakirti wanted to expand himself a little more.
He didn't. We already went through. Yeah, he didn't.
I mean, later.
Let's try it in something I would do just out of curiosity. Is it even a Sanskrit term, samta? Okay. This is about 30 volumes of Sanskrit Tibetan dictionaries. Has anyone ever used it? Is it like a common Sanskrit term? No one ever used it. Okay. What you might do then is check the Sanskrit manuscript to see if samta is a mistake, you know, like a translation mistake. But it's gone. They say there's one copy in the Patala, and no one's been able to get to it. So at this point, you just do the best you can. Then you go to what Eva said last time. You just kind of view of the mind or something like that. A mind's view. Already overwhelmed? You have to be careful. I'll tell you, I call it, this is a translation principle. It's called, what do you call it? Anticipating the resolution. Master Chakrakirti has put in a word which is sort of uncomfortable. Later he resolves it in his auto commentary by saying it means to outshine. You see what I mean? So if you anticipate the resolution to reduce tension, you've thwarted the author's intent. You see what I mean? Do you see what I mean? So, and then when you get to his auto commentary and it says, oh, by the way, that pamba, which means to defeat or overwhelm somebody, meant, oh, outshine, it doesn't make any sense to them because you've already used outshine in the original. You see what I mean? So that's a delicate question. That's something that takes, it's a sensitivity you have to develop to not anticipate a, what do you call it? Give away the punchline of the author. And it's tempting, you know, because you only have one shot. It's going to take 26 years at this rate to finish this book. And you'd like to tell everybody everything, but, you know, but then you have to save something for the future generations to translate. Those are born from the words of the evil ones. And I'm taking a shot at Dzogchen Chanju Semta. Maybe it's like looking forward to enlightenment, you know? Dzogchen Chanju, the definition by Master Asanga is Dzogchen Chanju La Mixing. It is focused upon, and Mik and Tha are almost the same word. So, did you have a question?
I just wanted to know how we know that it divides up the Semta as opposed to the Dzogchen Chanju Sem, or like Chanju's...
Mostly by meter.
Okay.
Normally, they'll try to keep it into the meter. Dzogchen Chanju Semta. But it's not a kyaba, especially in a translation.
Yeah, I guess I just mean, is that not a phrase for the wish for enlightenment? The wish for total enlightenment?
Dzogchen Chanju Sem could mean bodhicitta. Yeah. But then this, the way I've translated it, could mean bodhicitta also.
Yeah.
That's the idea. But it's not technically referring to someone who's just seen bodhicitta. It's referring to someone who's just seen emptiness on a bodhicitta track. So you kind of have to leave it a tiny bit ambiguous to cover both. Okay. Now I get to go back to the commentary we're in. So we were explaining the quality that the bodhisattva has of outshining other people. They outshine them by virtue of their new family, and they outshine them by virtue of their state of mind. Let's read this part together. 1, 2, 3. Tangbo che pa la Zobe changju sem pa Tangbo la ne kya Che pa ne Sunam taki wang ki pam che number pair. The first of these two is described in the root text with the lines that begin up to the ones that end with. Yeah, you see, that end with what?
Yeah,
it doesn't work out in the English. So then you just put whatever it ended in the English, okay? And we said you'll drive the hypertextual crazy, and that's okay. This kind of, I don't know, this section is sort of boring to me. I mean, later it gets into debate, it's a lot more exciting. This is just like, you're just saying, oh, that goes from this line up to that line. Okay, anyway. This belongs up here. Okay, let's read this. 1, 2, 3. Ni pa che pa la te ni ring du song wa lo yang hak pa kyun she be shun sun. Okay. Ni pa means what?
Second.
Second point means how do they surpass other people by virtue of their state of mind. Okay. Che pa la means to explain that. Deni Ringdu Soma, I'll show you something tricky. Look up Ringdu Song, what? Near 7. This was my Geshe debate, so I'm sort of attached to it. And we'll look it up in Uma, okay? Ringdu Songwa Soma Shishe Blashe, Sat Dumba, you see? Ringdu Songwa is the seventh bodhisattva level. Alright? To have gone far. Ringdu means far, Songwa means gone. So back to this text, Ringdu Chepala, Deni Ringdu Songwa, because they have gone far, their mind also exceeds Hakpagyur. Okay? And he's just reading this. which we have to, it's the fourth line of this four lines. Okay, Dzogbe Chanchi Semta Dhammala Nekyan, Thurva Sankhi Dhanche Ra Sankhi Nam Ni, Sunam Dhaki Vongi Phanche Namo Pao, Dhani Nim Nisumari Yo, Lo Yan Habak Gyur. So now we have to stick this at the end of what we just translated.
What does it increase?
I don't know. He didn't say yet. He's going to gloss it later. Right now he's just saying this section belongs in this part of the text. Because they have gone to a distance. I just wanted to... He's used Ring to Soma, but not as in the seventh Bodhisattva level, okay? And if you didn't know that, you might go off on a weird tangent, because he's only at the first Bodhisattva level. He threw in the name of the seventh Bodhisattva level. He shouldn't have done that, really. It's kind of confusing. But anyway, their mind has also gone to a distance. Oh yeah, mind. Even Bill Gates knew that. Never mind. Possibly. Because seventh Bodhisattva level is a very important one. It's where you start to go into Nirvana, right? On a Mahayana track. So, anyway. So, what is the second? The second of the two is treated in the shung. What's shung?
Shung.
You studied your Bodhisattva vows from Shunglan, Jetsun Kapa's highway. So Shunglan means main highway. Shung means a main anything. The government of Tibet is called Shung, Deva Shung. A highway is called Shung, a main road. And a major text is also called a Shung. Okay, so here we're talking about, the second of these two is treated in the line of the root text that says, but we can't say line, because we used more than one line. Okay, hopefully we get to go to some explanation here. Let's do this one in Tibetan characters. You ready? One, two, three. Sandir fa de yun de shen she ba la. Sandir jim be par chin hak par. Tobe tsu shepa tene ten membe jimba shepa jimbe parchin ki yeor shepa shepa. This is a tricky one right here, right? I mean, right? How do you say it? Yeor. And it's a little bit with emphasis. Yeor. Yeor. If it was a ya demu ye, it would be yewa. Tao pa yata. Sorry, they anticipated. Tao wa yata ya demu ye. Say tao.
Tao
wa.
Wa.
Yata ya. Demu ye. Okay, so yewa. Okay. Okay, so what particular quality distinguishes a person who's at the first Bodhisattva level from other people? Okay, and that's, you should know this. Say, Jimba?
Jimba.
Lhagwa Thoba.
Lhagwa Thoba.
Jimba?
Jimba.
Lhagwa Thoba.
Lhagwa Thoba.
And this is the main, like if somebody asks you what distinguishes one bodhisattva from another level, from another bodhisattva level, it's the perfection that they are, what do you call it? That they're sort of like reaching a new level of. So at the first bodhisattva level, they're reaching a new level in the perfection of giving. Yeah, as opposed to other. Do they have the other perfections? Yes. Do they practice them? Yes. Do they reach exceeding levels of giving at the other bodhisattva's levels? Yes. But this is the one quality that distinguishes this level from the others. So during the time they're on the first bodhisattva level, they are reaching a new level of the art of giving, how to give. Okay. And it's the difference between people who are generous are normally generous because of their past lives. And they tend to lose it over the course of their life. So people who are naturally want to give things and share things with others, it's more common in their 20s and 30s when they're idealistic. They would say idealistic, right? And then they lose it as they approach their retirement age. And they tend to get in India, when food's short, they get into hoarding mode. Yeah, like, I need money to retire with, you know what I mean? And it's just a natural wearing out of generous tendencies from your past life. That Aryanagarjuna would call that going from light to darkness. And then some people, under the influence of teachers in this life, who don't have worldview, they are convinced that it would be good to be more and more generous as they get. So over the length of their lives, perhaps they get a little more generous. And then they enter their retirement years and they're like the people who start endowments and things like that, because they're attracted to it. But for a person who's seen emptiness, it's a pungsumba. It's a whole third worldview. It's a whole different worldview. They are giving because that's the only way to create wealth in the world. They are consciously giving because they want the world's level of wealth to increase. They believe that by giving even small things to other people, they are directly affecting the economic prosperity of the entire globe. This is a totally different viewpoint, you know. In that case, if you are driven by a wish to see the world happy, if that's what your life's goal is, then you must master the art of giving, because that's going to ensure economic prosperity for the entire globe. You see? Then you would become some kind of person who would try to go around and try to convince, like, business people or people in positions of affecting the flow of wealth in the world, try to convince them that the way to increase economic numbers, right, like to increase the gross national product of a country, is to get the people in that country to be more generous, you know? And that's the only place where money comes from. Every cent of the world's economy is driven by the tendency towards generosity of the citizens in the world. That's the bodhisattva's viewpoint, an Arya bodhisattva's viewpoint, is that the entire value of the world's economy is driven by the act of generosity of the people who are engaged in that economy. So then they would be running around trying to convince people, especially business people, politicians, to realize that that's where money comes from. And then the Tao would go over 12,000, it would go to 15,000, it would go to 20,000, it would go to 100,000. You see, I mean, there's no limit on that. So that's a different viewpoint. So a bodhisattva on the first level might be very much engaged in that kind of activity. Okay. Which is much different from being naturally generous from your past life seeds, which tends to wear out, or having learned to be generous in this life but for the wrong reasons. Not understanding that actually drives the world's economy like that. Okay.
Did the Tao break 12?
Yeah, it just broke 12.
Wow.
First time in history. And the Chinese gross national export to the U.S. this year will exceed $300 billion. First time in history. It's about four times what it was 3 years ago. So it's interesting. Okay. Tambo Chanju Sim Sa Tambo Ate Lu Long Chu Gewe Zang Nam Shin Na Tang Se Sem Kun Se Chung Se Zang Ne Pa Chanju Kin Ki Chin Ne Pa Chu Ki Ne Pa Tu Chu you like the Tibetan, right? It's good. Let's go ahead. Thanks to Abam. One, go slow. This is not verses. You have to guess that which syllables hang together. One, two, three. Tang mo tang sim sa tang po wa te lu long chu ge we sa na shen la tang we se se ne kun zi chung se zang yang me pa tong we zo pe chang chu ki gyu jim be par chin ki nyam le fa pa to tsu da. We have to glue it to this, sorry. Let's do this one too. We have to glue it together. It's one huge sentence. One, two, three. De shen ki mo wo po pe ta ta che pa na rim ba shin du che pa la de tse de la zo pe chung chu gyu she pa ne nang du mi ru po pe gyur yang gyur she pe par sun. Read this one for me. Gyur. Read this one for me. Same? We'll do it again. This one. Gyur. This one. Gyur. How about? How about this one? Cure. Cure. Here we go again. Here's the naked one. Cure. A little bit of air. Hear it? Cure. This one. No air. English G. Gyur. Gyur. This one in English G with a prenasal. Gyur. Gyur. So you see how important it is even here. Gyur yang gyur. Say gyur yang gyur. And if you don't know that, then it just all sounds the same, and then you, when you're translating it, you have trouble. Okay? Gyur. Okay. I'm going to cheat this along because it's so long. They're willing to give away their Lu Long Chu Ge Ca. Lu Long Chu Ge Ca. What's Lu?
Body.
Willing to give away their body. Long Chu? Their possessions. Ge Ca? Root of virtue. And I want to talk about root of virtue. Root is sort of, I don't know. When you say root of virtue, it doesn't mean much. You see, I don't think it means much. I think it's just what I call, you can put this in the translation principles, blind translation. Oh, tsao is the word for root. Geo is the word for virtue. Let's translate it as root of virtue. But then you have to understand what it is, and then you have to convert it into normal English words. You see what I mean? And otherwise it just becomes this Dharmaism that you run across in pujas. Root of virtue, and then nobody knows what it means. You know what I mean? And then, oh, okay, root of virtue, you know. It sounds like, I don't know what's the root of virtue. It's probably seeing emptiness or something. You see what I mean? What's the root of virtue? What it means is the good karma you've been able to store up so far. You know what I mean? Like, you have a certain amount of good karma in your pocket. It's one thing to give away the result of your good karma, right? Which is what? Your body or the things you own. But are you willing to give away the stuff that's going to create all your future happiness? Or would you be willing to give away all the stuff you have in the bank that's going to be producing your income for the next few lifetimes? Would you be willing to give that up also? That hasn't yet produced nice things. You see what I mean? So now you give up everything you have. You gave up all the virtue that's coming boomeranging back to you. But you're also offering to give up all the virtue that's supposed to boomerang back to you in the future. All the good deeds you've ever done that haven't ripened yet. Are you willing to give those up to other people? You see, I mean, that's a little harder, it seems to me. Most of us don't believe in that anyway. I mean, we don't think about having a bank account, you know, of good deeds. We're mostly just worried about, are we getting anything good at this present moment? Do we have anything nice happening today? And then a real Buddhist, and especially a tantrika, you have to be at this level where you can, you're just ignoring what's happening today. And all acts that you do are aimed at future consequences, you know? Because you can't control, the present is concrete, right? The present is happening to you. The present is ripening from what you did long ago. Your interest as a Buddhist is to live in the future. Just piling up good karma, you know? Someone hurts you. Someone does something negative to you. Then this viewpoint allows you not to react. Because you're only worried about the future. You see, you can't help that now. You can't, like, prevent all the unpleasant people in your life today. They are a result of what you did in the past. They're already happening. You can't change that. Only in the reaction to them can you plan for the future. So you, the whole thing is in reacting with an eye to the future and not worrying about what's happening. So then you get into this weird thing of people hurting you and you being nice to them. Or people hurting you and you thanking them. And you get into this weird way of life, which Jesus espoused. This is what Jesus was saying, you know, love your enemy, right? That it's the logical mode of behavior for a person who believes in karma. You see what I mean? Because right now they're not lovable. And Buddha doesn't say, and Jesus doesn't say they're lovable. They're not lovable. The people who are bugging you today are not lovable. And then you're supposed to love them. Why? Because it's noble? It is noble, but mainly because they will turn to loving people in the future if you love them back now. You can change them, but not today. And to reach that level of maturity in your practice, to live for what's... to have perfection of wisdom, to understand karma so strongly that you are willing to act in very weird ways in the present towards people who hurt you, knowing that it's going to create a beautiful future. And that's the only thing you can do right now. That's all that's available to you right now. Then that's perfectionism. And a bodhisattva does that. A bodhisattva at the first level does that. They understand. They grasp that. I should give away all I have to people who will not show me any gratitude or thanks. And that's perfectly intelligent to do. You see what I mean? And it's hard. It's very hard. And it's against your culture. Everything you read. We're reading a book now, it's sort of disgusting. We're reading a science fiction book, and this lady keeps sneaking in, she's kind of like sneaking in this Christian thing, which is not bad, that's not the bad part. She's sneaking in a critique of certain Christian views. She holds certain Christian views, and she's critiquing other Christian views, but she snuck it into a science fiction book that we bought, which is not fair. But it's probably something I would do. But anyway, but then she's saying, oh, the Lord wants you to suffer, you know? You learn by suffering. And the two characters in the book are fighting each other. Now, one says, well, can't we just be happy, you know? Probably the Lord wants us to be happy, you know? And the other one says, no. All this suffering is the Lord's way of, maturing your mind, bringing you up to a higher level. And then, you know, the obvious objection to that is, why didn't they just make me with a mature mind in the first place? You know, or something like that. But anyway, You have to be careful that you don't get to that viewpoint. Oh, suffering is good, or suffering ennobles you, or something like that. It's not. Suffering will be ended completely. There will be no suffering around to be noble about in the future. And our goal is to stop all suffering. And it's not necessary for happiness. You know, there's this idea that without suffering you wouldn't know what happiness is. That's not true. You give me chocolate. Without giving me vitamins. And it will taste good to me. Not by comparison. You see what I mean? No, Buddhists don't accept that comparison thing.
But what if vitamins compared to something unpalatable?
They are unpalatable. These are the best things in China. How do you say about
white rabbit?
Dao bai du. If you don't learn how to say where there's a bathroom when you get to China, at least learn how to say dao bai du. You can get white rabbit when you get there. That's one of the best things. So anyway, the Bodhisattva level is willing to give away their
chocolate.
Yeah, I guess.
Their future
happiness.
Stockpile of goodness.
Entire store.
I like it. Oh, Alistair, another translation principle. Sometimes you should have fun. I mean, once in a while, in a text, there should be something which is a little bit light, you know? Which is a little bit fun. And not totally straight, you know? Okay. Willing to get stop out goodness. Sorry?
Some of the commentators in future generations to the debate.
Yeah. Why were they being silly at this point? Without the slightest trace of... Oh, how should we translate Serna? Serna means... Rinpoche used to say cheap mind. Stinginess? It has to be a noun. There's no like real scholarly word, right? Oh, there is a word, but I don't like it.
Miserly?
No, it's paucity, or it sounds like paucity.
Paucity is
both.
Paucity.
Anyway, it's, let's stick to stinginess. Or hesitation? You want to say hesitation? Hesitation? In the Dakye, we have Pamba Mepa Bukhi Lakshene. Pamba Mepa means that, without hesitation. Without that feeling, oh, I shouldn't have given that. Like Marpa had, when he gave away the last bit of gold, and then Naropa called him on it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Pamba. Now we have a difficult word, and you have to help me on this one. Kunzin. What's Kun mean? What's Zin mean?
Whole.
Kunzin is an expression for mental function. How do you want to how would it be appropriate to translate it here? Why is it called Kunzin? Let's look it up. I don't know. Somewhere there's an explanation that says it's Kunzin because it, blah, blah, blah. And it happens to be in the Abhidharma, I think. Think for a minute, those of you who know Tibetan. Simplify the search. Hopefully we'll hit a commentary that says, because it blah, 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 it's called Kunzin. Okay? Because it blah, 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 it's called Kunzin. So how could you set up the search like very efficiently. Like the first time you hit something, it's probably going to be it. Good. That's one thing you could do. Kunzin Ser. Or Kunzin She.
That means called?
Yeah, that's why they... No, that quote, Kunzin. He just said, look for quote, Kunzin. What's another way, more sophisticated? Put the instrumental right before it. Because of that, it's Kunzin. Wei na Kunzin. You see what I mean? Or Yi, which could be Ki Ki or Ki, Kunzin. You see? That's one of the cool things about leaving it in Roman. You can do these weird searches like this. Those last two just say, that's why it's called Kunzin. That's why it's called Kunzin. Okay? Now let's do it. I don't know if it's going to work. We'll see. But it sure saves a hell of a lot of time if it does work. We'll search the whole Sungbun. Let's start with Lumba, because I think it's in Abhidhamma. Now, I think it was too sophisticated. This isn't it. That's not it. I'll show you something else cool you can do. While that's going, you could start another search. That search just failed, by the way. You can start a couple other searches going. How about Kundudzin? Or there's a great Tibetan dictionary, the Great Dictionary. That's pretty useful. Sometimes he'll tell you why. Okay, let's look. I keep it in a separate file because I use it a couple hundred times a day. So, here's Kunzin. What's it mean? What's Lun mean? Lun means in this dictionary, it means a poeticism. A poeticism. And Sachi Lo means the year of the earth rat. And that was all the Kunzins we were hitting, were a year of the earth rat. Okay, so Kunzin, the holder, is a poeticism for the year of the earth rat. Is that helpful? No? Okay. And then that's all. So now we have to do it the long way. And just look through the whole symbol. I still think it's in the Abhidhamma. Not there. Okay. Anyway, I'll show you something. It's a synonym for Kunjor. I happen to know it's a synonym for Kunjor. Okay, so I'm going to set up that same weird search for Kunjorwa, and let's see if we hit anything. Not what we want. This is nice. This is it. Okay. Kunjorshete. So that search did work. Why do they call it kundadzin or kundajora? That which holds or that which connects. Okay? Debu dungela jor chepina, because it connects you or holds you onto a result which is suffering, it's called kundjora. Okay, so kundzin means that which is gonna make you grab suffering or hold you to suffering. That's why it's called kundzin. Okay? Now how do you want to translate it? Without the slightest trace of the mental affliction of hesitation. But you got to reflect that thing about it would keep you in samsara if you did. Find me a one-word noun for a mental affliction that reflects that it keeps you in samsara.
Default
Try to get a word in there that binds is very close, and there are other mental affliction called bonds. In fact, that's how I used to translate kundjora.
Shackles.
Bonds. How do you? Let's take a vote. Bind. Bond. Bind.
Fetter.
Shackle.
Handcuffs.
I like it because it keeps you in samsara. See, what did you say? Shackles, fetter, bond, bind. Vote for bond. Vote for fetter. Vote for shackle. Shackles things. Okay, of the mental shackle or the shackle?
Could it just be the trace of mental presentation?
Could you just leave it out? Nah. A little bit different. A little bit different. Trap implies future problem. Let me tell you something. This gets into a hard part. Let's read this together. Oh, did we do that? We did this already. De Shengi Mor, to the viewpoint of others, to the way others see you. Pokpa, do you know Pokpa? What's Jepak Sema? Pratyak Shanamanagama Brahmanani Yoga Sutra, first chapter. Deductive correct perception. So Pokpa means, or Pokpa means to deduce. Okay, so to others' perceptions, a tak. Tagmadu, tak. Reason. A reason by which to others they can extrapolate or they can deduce something. Okay? Dang chepa nam rimishin chepa. So the root text, the next root text verse includes two parts. Part one. Look, these bodhisattvas are now free of all kinds of hesitation. They're willing to give up their body, their possessions, and all their future good stuff too. Okay. Secondly, there is something about them that allows others to how do you say it? Deduce who they are.
Infer.
Or infer who they are. Okay. So there's some kind of sign. Something in the way she moves. You know, like, there's some kind of sign. No, there's something about you that allows others to. I think. I'm not familiar with this words or concept, so I'd like to go look it up somewhere. Okay? That's what it seems to say. I'd be interested to see what's the sign they're talking about. Like, people always come up to me and say, well, how do you know someone else is a bodhisattva? You see? And would there be a dak that you could pokpa from? That they are bodhisattva. You see what I mean? And that's interesting to me. And I'm curious if that's what it means. So let's go look it up. Most unusual word in this string here. Come on. Bok. Okay. You guys didn't know bok because you never saw it before, because it only comes in one scripture in 1,000. Okay. Bokpa. And just to nail it down, near what?
Dot.
Yeah, it's the sign from which you can infer. So we'll look up the word sign. near, we'll look at the word infer, infer near sign. We'll put nearby. And where would we want to look? What's our sources of preference? Sumbum or tengyur or kangyur? Sumbum because it's more readable. The earliest, the latest tengyur works you have are 1,000 years old. The closest sumbum works you have are Pabong Rinpoche, 1940s, 1950s, like that. So let's go to sumbum. It's going to be more readable. Any particular part? Let's stick to Madhyamika. This is a commentary on the Bodhisattva Charavatara. It's not interesting right now. This is interesting. He's giving an explanation of the Sanskrit word for japa, which is not what we're doing right now. How much do you stop and read something that looks interesting when you're on a 26-year schedule already? Anyway, anu means jesu, afterwards, and mana means to weigh or to estimate, and that's why they call it japa. That's why anumana is... that could help you read the Yoga Sutra someday, okay? But it's not what we're doing, okay. This is a little complicated. I think we're going to let this go. This is cool. That's exactly what we're looking for, right? Huh? It's our own text. Sorry. Okay. I thought you would fall for it. Okay. This is not helpful.
We're trying to get to the facts of what telltale signs a person shows to give up.
We want to know
if they're a bodhisattva.
The text seems to be saying that the root text here is talking about signs by which you can judge or deduce that someone is a bodhisattva at the first level. But I'm not sure that's what the text is saying.
It sounds poetic. It sounds like je ne sais quoi. You'll never find that thing. I don't know. Just have to spend time with them, I suppose.
What did that one search say? It talks about baptism.
It was talking about... It was really difficult. But it was... the understandings of the four higher truths, Arya truths, subsequent to the direct perception of emptiness can be divided into four by the four truths, but each of those can be divided into two depending on whether you are understanding the truth or you have reached the understanding of that truth, right? You're in the act of understanding it or you have understood it, right? And they're called shesu, they're called knowledge and mastery. And then he said that sometimes those eight are called the eight signs by which you can deduce. So it might be that, an Arya. Okay. But that's pretty obscure.
But you'd have to be an Arya to be able to spot one across the room, it sounds like.
Maybe, I think so. Let's look at once through the tengyur, and then we'll give it up. Okay. And we'll see if he talks about it later.
And can you have a bodhisattva that isn't a
tengyur? Yeah, you can. I'm skipping a similar thing. This is tempting because it's Sikthel. What's Sikthel?
Clear words.
Clear words written by Master Chanakirti. But it's not. It's not what we're looking for. This is interesting. Why? Auto commentary to this book. Maybe this should be helpful. This is nice. This is nice. He's explaining his own text. Okay? And he says... there is a distinction in how they give things away. They give things away in the mode of mikme. What's mikme? Not seeing anything. But what's it really mean? Don't see anything as self-existing. Like the lady at the ice cream shop is not coming from her side, coming from your side. Okay? That's what it means not to see. Mikme. Like mikme tsewe derchen chemerse. Okay? Teni jesu papate. And there is an element of deduction here. This is what we wanted. He's getting there. Di jesu popena jesu papate takso. There's something about, there's some kind of sign about this bodhisattva that would allow you to deduce something. Okay? Di duni, what the heck does that mean? Di duni, chandu sembe, sadambo topetse. Once a bodhisattva has realized the first bodhisattva level, chuki in kundu doi, doar topa yinla. They now understand chuki yin. What's that? Yin. Yin. Huh? Yeah, dharma dhatu. Ying means like realm, and it sounds like realm, right? But you get into the ying of emptiness, you see? It's like ying, say ying. It's not ying, it's ying. Okay? Chuki ying. Dharma dhatu, okay? So they have flown in the dharma dhatu. They have flown in the realm of emptiness. And you can understand that they have done it if you come across someone who's willing to cut the flesh off their body and hand it to another person. Okay? Who's like hungry or something. And they want to make some dutsi pills or something. Yinla. Deyan rangishala sopa tongi kuna shepa yinla. Detar, kyalte chandu sembe chuki in kundu dora matokna. Because if a bodhisattva hadn't understood the realm of emptiness, matokna, shala sopa tongar chitar nu, they wouldn't be able to cut the flesh out of their body. Dhena, rangi shala sopa tongwe, therefore if you come across a person who's giving away meat off their own body, chuki yin kundudor topa yino, they must have perceived the realm of emptiness. That's it, okay? Is that a kyama? No. Okay? But anyway, understand this in the future as we talk about the other qualities. You know, when we get to patience or someone who can be put up with the worst kind of abuse and still just smile or say, okay, then you can popa from that thought. Maybe they're an Arya Bodhisattva. You know what I mean? Like that. Is it a kyaba? I don't think so. I mean, you can meet people who do weird things who just haven't perceived anything, right? And I suspect there's Aryas who don't feel like it's appropriate to cut their body right now because they need it for something, you know. And we wouldn't know what they're thinking, you know. Okay. McNally, how are you doing?
You told me I have.
I know. Okay, 15. She said I could go a little bit over. So the first point that the next root text verse covers is how the bodhisattva reaches a high stage of giving, right? The second okay? The second point is that there are certain signs about this bodhisattva that can allow others to come to certain deductions. These two points are covered one after the other in the root text. Next. Then we go Deitse de la zope chanchuk gyu shepane nang du miyun. Let's read this. 1, 2, 3. Te tse de la zok sang chan chu gyu sherpa ne nang du mi rung po pe gyur yang gyur she pe par sung. And these two points are covered in the root text in the verse that starts with blah 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 and ends with blah blah blah, and to do that we have to go translate that verse. Okay, so we're going to skip over to the root text, which is here. I'm going to ask you for a word here. Say, Nangru. Mami Beta. Nangru Mami Beta. Nangru Mami Beta means, when we studied logic back in class 13, okay, SCI course thing, 13, there are logical reasons for proving the presence of something that's not normally visible, and for proving the presence of things which are not normally visible. And in fact, the use of logic for spiritual purposes is almost exclusively for what? Proving the things which are not normally visible. Like today we spoke about when you reach first bodhisattva level, then you're operating on this perception of what's to come. You can be nice to an enemy because you perceive that that's how you get rid of the enemy. You see what I mean? And that's all, until you see emptiness directly, that's all just deduction. You know? People are saying that to you, and you consider it, and maybe you try it a little bit, or you figured out logically that this is correct. But to run your life on deduction is almost impossible. You know what I mean? We run our lives on what's visible. The Abhidharma says 95% of our actions are motivated by what we see with our eyes. You see? And to run your life on logic, cold logic, you know, I should not respond to this angry person with anger precisely because I don't like them. Okay? I mean, it's impossible. It's almost impossible to run your life. That's something that is nangdu mirungwa. Say nangdu mirungwa. Very famous right here. Nangdu mirungwa. It's not something that's normally evident. Right? It's not something you can see with your eyes. How do you want to translate that? You see? That at this point, they are willing at this point to give away their own flesh with perfect respect. They also reach a cause which would allow someone else to deduce that thing about them which cannot be immediately apparent or something. I wanted to say evident, but I don't know. See?
I like immediately apparent.
Okay. Like you walk up to somebody, it's not obvious whether they're bodhisattva or not. That's all. And then when they start cutting off their fingers if someone needs a hot dog, or more likely, you see someone be very unfair to them or very mean to them, and then they just respond calmly and coolly, then this person must understand emptiness. Because there's no other way they could respond with so much cool. You know, this person must have a high degree of a perception of emptiness. You know, you can deduce, okay?
Which cannot be.
Which is not. Okay, now we go back and supply what to the other book. The first few words and the last few words. It goes from there up to there. He said, right? What two points? Test. What two points are in this verse? No, but what are the two points that are contained in this verse?
The point at which exceeding the high level.
Yeah, the point number one. The bodhisattva at the first bodhisattva level is reaching a high degree of the art of giving. Point number two. There are certain signs about them from which you can deduce who they are. Okay, that's all. And those are one by one. They are in this verse. So let's go back. Come on, Bill. See here. 2 points are made. First, how they reach a high stage of the perfection of giving. Secondly, how there are certain signs that you can deduce certain things from. What part of the root text? Well, it's from Daetse up to Yanggyul, okay? Which in English comes out to... begins with... How did it start? Hey, they too, but they're too polite.
At that point
they reach... up to, which is not immediately apparent, okay? Okay. To put in a footnote for what?
With the rest of the text.
Oh, we will. Or else it'll be on facing pages or something. It's up to that, and of course. You know. Niva Shivalas. I'm just going to read this with you, and we'll translate it next time. We have a few minutes left. Let's read the Tibetan script. 1, 2, 3... Ni ba she ba la so so ke wo nam ni mun tu de wo de chi mi la so pe mun tu de wo yang long che len jung shin long che kya jin be dem ba sing ne Tu pe parchin dhruki nam ne tambor jimbe tam zepayin. We had a friend, Huang Jin was here from Shanghai, you know, and he was disturbed. We went for a long walk and he was like, you know, all my life I've been wanting to do, you know, I took my whole life to find you guys. And then you're doing what I always wanted to do, you know, like go around and teach people that it's that you get money by giving to other people, you know. And then when I met you, I was so happy. But now I'm having these like questions in my mind because I see that some of the audience is just becoming more materialistic. You see, like we emphasize so much that. We don't talk about future lives and we don't talk about, you know, in business talks in Shanghai, you can't, right? Except at the very end, in the theater. And it got real quiet. But anyway, no, it was good, but it took like a week of teaching to get that trust up to where we could start talking about future life. But he was he was concerned that, is it appropriate to emphasize so much material prosperity? Won't people get corrupt? You know, won't they sort of get lost and start just seeking that and not helping others and like that, you know, or not thinking about their future lives and like that. So here it is. This is sort of a section on that. What is this second section? It's up here. An explanation of how those of a lower nature than this do their giving. Than whom?
Bodhisattva
at the first Bodhisattva level. So how do lower people do their giving, okay? Why do they give? Nipa Shepala, to explain that second point that we talked about, Soso Kyaos, people who haven't seen emptiness, Muntu Dewa De, Muntu Dewa De, they want the happiness of Muntu. It's the opposite of Nyendro. Muntu means a higher rebirth. They want to get in the upper part of the wheel of life. They want to come back as a human and better. Okay? They want that kind of happiness of a higher birth. Actually, there's not even a lot of sosokyos who even think about their birth. Okay? But anyway. Mila sope muntu dewa yang. And the pleasure of a higher birth, the happiness of a higher birth, as a human, for example, mila sopa, longju len jung. Longju len jung. What's that mean? it comes from star. It comes from possessions. You know? What they're thinking about, what they have in mind. When you say, do you want to be a human when you come back? Yes. But what's really in their heart is, I want to come back to a place where I have a house, you know, and a nice wife, and I want to have some money and a car, and I want the good things of life, you know. That's what they're thinking. Long Chuning, Jun, Qing. This is a logical progression. Why do people want to get to the higher birth? They want to be human. What is it about a human they want? They want stuff. Long Chu Kyang Jinbei Den. But Longju is den, is pulled forth. Longju is driven by Jinba. What? Giving. So you have to teach them. These are talking about people who are just like in Shanghai Stock Exchange, you know? And you have to teach them, you want things, then get going on your generosity. Okay? Get going on your giving. You know, Jinbei Den Sydney, understanding that that's the case. Tupa, who's the Tupa? Lord Buddha, Parchin Tuki Nangne, out of the six perfections, Dambor, first he taught Jinba. Giving. Jinbei Tam means he talked about giving. He gave his talks, he talked about giving. Tam Ze means he honorific. What are they saying here? Lord Buddha, seeing that until such time as people reach their first direct perception of emptiness, what they would really like is to be comfortable. And so the very first kind of teachings he went around giving was about
suffering.
Giving. It was about giving as a way to get things. Giving as a way to get things. Okay? So I guess I would send that to Huang Jin. You see what I mean? Lord Buddha did it that way. Lord Buddha said, look, people are driven mostly by a desire to be comfortable. What makes people comfortable? Things, money. So what's the first thing you got to teach them if you want to hook them?
Is
how to get money. And then you teach them that giving away things is how to get it. So you see, he's dropped down from a bodhisattva's motivation for giving to a lower motivation for giving, which is fine. Don't forget that in Buddhism, lower means a foundation. It's the foundation. It's where you start with your generosity. Start with giving to get comfortable. Then you will build up to giving to save the world. And they're not incompatible. It's not like you have to give up being comfortable to save the world. In fact, you can't get away from it if you choose to save the world. Money will chase you. People will stuff money in your backpack. You'll find it like a week later. We're like traveling in China, we're out of money, we open a book, there's $500, you know. Somebody put that in there. And it's like that, your life will be like that. So it's not incompatible, in fact it's inevitable. If you give to save the world, then you will always, resources will come to you to do the things you want to do. You know what I mean? Okay. Alright, let's stop there. And Jigme. Sense the difference in this book. It's a book about the six perfections, yes, but all from the point of emptiness. So it's a beautiful, it's not a book about the six perfections. It's a book about the six perfections starting from emptiness. And I think that's just what makes it the most famous book ever in Tibet, right? Okay.